Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track 3 features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 10, Number 3. In the last edition of SNU, I discussed one of my favorite topics, which, as you know, is muscle. Muscle is indeed the health engine of the body. It is king. Muscle makes us strong, moves us around, and generates pretty much all of the energy in the body. That's why anyone guilty of losing it prematurely rarely enjoys a decent level of energy, vitality, or good health. Training muscle correctly is an act of discipline. So is feeding it. Neglect your muscle and you neglect life itself. Muscle doesn't stick around just for the sake of it. Use it or lose it means just that. Manage muscle wisely and expect optimum health for your entire life. Neglect it and you will fall apart very quickly, as well as become susceptible to a vast host of degenerative diseases, including obesity, cancer, heart disease, and diabetes. Natural bodybuilders and athletes who eat clean whole food know the importance of clean, functional muscle. They know that muscle responds predictably to both their internal commands and the external environment muscle adapts to. Keeping yourself together as you age means you cannot neglect your physical body, but unfortunately, muscle is abandoned by the vast majority. That kind of reminds me of the old Wild West ghost towns Tracy and I discovered and drove through during our RV tour of America. What was once a thriving community was now reduced to nothing but crumbling ruins, scattered rubble, and demolished buildings. On this edition of Clinical Review, I'll continue with my ongoing review of the 100-plus sports nutrition principles taught in the Principles of Sports Nutrition course. Each one of these principles is summarized and available online at CoreyHawley.com. Just get to my site, click Chi TV at the bottom, I guess the lower right. Look for the icon, Chi TV, click that, and that'll take you to the webpage with the links, and you can select whatever principle you'd like. Now, let's talk about our next principle, which is nutrition. I mean, what a topic. We can go on and on. I can talk about this till the cows come home. But nutrition comes after sports, but never underestimate its power. Its potency goes way beyond what most people can even comprehend. Nutrition is what every living thing requires to sustain itself, to live, to sustain its life, and to enhance its tolerance to all forms of stress. Sports nutrition is what anyone engaged in the sport of life needs to sustain themselves, because life is a sport, and we're all athletes engaged in the sport of living. Now, another name for nutrition is energy. They are one and the same. The reason we consume food is to obtain the energy that we require. It's a necessity. It's a need. We also need the micronutrients hidden in natural food, those invisible factors we can't see with the naked eye, called vitamins and minerals and enzymes and flavonoids and so on. They must be present in our food, otherwise we can't utilize the energy in the food. In the game of life and in the sport of living, we need nourishment, but we don't need just any kind of nourishment. We need a special kind of nourishment. We need optimum nutrition. We need the very best of food, meaning the highest quality of food, fresh, whole, organic, real food from both plants and animals. That's what real nutrition is. Real food isn't fake food. It's not artificial food. It's not junk food. And it's not fast food. It's slow food. It's real food from nature. It's the real deal. Now, let me tell you what I mean by bridging the gap. Perhaps you've heard me use this term before. Bridging the gap between nutrition and fitness. Well, bridging the gap is about blending the consciousness of health and science with fitness and nutrition. The bridge is education and rational thought. And it is this bridge that allows one to cross over from the science of fitness without prejudice to the science of nutrition. Fitness and nutrition are equally important to the achievement of optimum health. I mean, if I ask you this question, which one is more important, fitness or nutrition? The answer is neither. They're both equal. Remember my equation for health? H equals NF squared. So health, or H, is the product of nutrition and fitness squared. So your best nutrition and your best fitness, you do that consistently, that generates a value or product. Now you square that, which makes it more powerful, and that is equal to health. And believe me, you got any disease or crud inside your body, that formula is just going to blow it out. Nutrition is sustenance. It's food. It's a textbook of such enormous size that in terms of thickness, depth, and research, if all the pages of that textbook were lined up end to end, they would extend from here to the moon and beyond. Now, how far is the moon? It's 384,403 kilometers away, or approximately 30 times the diameter of the Earth. We must get the importance of nutrition, at least in our own heads. And obviously, based on how the masses are eating, there is a huge flaw in the system. The flaw, if you can see it and recognize it and even know that there is one, lies in how the truth is being hidden, suppressed, and corrupted from the original truth or the source, the objective science. And then once it's modified, corrupted, and then sent out via media hype or transferred, what that stuff is it's a modification, it's a corruption of the original. So this is why people think the way they do and believe in what they do. They think they're listening to the truth, and it's a corruption. Nutrition is misunderstood, misapplied, and taken largely for granted. Huge numbers of people think they get everything they need from the food they eat. What a pipe dream! Nothing could be further from the truth, except perhaps Wall Street, national banks, and the governments. But that's another story. Most people have no idea what they need, and if we were able to scrutinize their diets, we would discover that they are faulty and incomplete in many, many ways, even and often especially in those who say they eat well. In fact, when someone says they eat well, assume that statement in and of itself is a cover for the fact that they don't. I mean, it's easy to say eat well. I mean, how do I know that person eats well? Well, I'm going to look at them, look at their skin, look at their hair, look at their body. If they're eating well and they don't look well, then I know they're not eating well. At least they haven't been eating well too long. So that's been my experience. Nutrition is very personal and for some, even a religious experience. My advice is get the religion out of it and just focus on rationality, scientific thought waves. That's how you put a diet together. Never mind the dark ages. Never mind what people tell you. If it doesn't correlate with science, if it's not compatible with genetics and the science of anthropology, and if what you're doing isn't working, then you've got to change it. I mean, that should be pretty obvious. But few people are really comfortable with revealing what they actually eat day in and day out because it is such a personal thing. And perhaps one of the reasons some people don't want to talk about it or have their diets scrutinized is because they know they are way off course and they're embarrassed by their lack of restraint. So here's where the number two rule of Scott Peck's The Road Less Traveled comes to mind. And what is that? Delay gratification. That's his second rule. And what's the first rule? This is the primary rule in his book, The Road Less Traveled. Life is hard and then you die. Get over it. Now, another important nutrition factor we must discuss is biochemical individuality. As unique as we are, we must embrace the fact that no one single diet system is ideal for everyone everywhere. Different strokes for different folks, as it were. Obviously, some people are allergic or intolerant to certain natural foods. Some people get indigestion, others gain body fat or suffer with silent inflammation. While the same foods, provided they are whole and not refined, seem to fit like a baseball in a catcher's mitt for others. So one man's food or one woman's food is another man or woman's poison. We need to understand that. It has to do with your genetics, the environment, your current state, whether you train or not, all kinds of factors, and that's where the education and the knowledge of those variables comes to mind. Because you put this stuff together, it's your life we're talking about. How important is that? But when that baseball fits into that catcher's mitt, I don't know if you've ever been a catcher, I have in baseball, and when the hard ball is thrown into it, it just sinks deep and it fits so nice and tight. And that's how some diets fit for some people. But that same diet that fits so snug and nice for another person is loose and wobbly and the ball falls out. So not all diets are the same because not all people are the same. 99.9% of our genome is the same as everyone else's. But that 1% that's different, that makes all the difference in the world. And that difference is what convention disregards. And that's why they've got things called assembly lines. And the reason that the assembly lines don't work is because of that small 1%. Now, here's where we should mention responsibility, as in personal responsibility. We must seek out and understand first the principles that guide us towards health and wellness, and then slowly master the art and science of sports nutrition. We must supply our biological demand. This is our prime directive, the CHI prime directive. Supply your biological demand. Now, what does that mean? It means we must first understand who and what kind of animal we are. Before we can supply the demand, we have to know exactly what the demand is. And that's the challenge of nutrition, to know exactly what we need. What we want, for the most part, is easy. What you want, well, that's easy. Anyone can want anything. Anything that tastes good is what most people want. But that approach only gets us into trouble unless what you like, what tastes good to you, is totally natural, totally real, and from nature. Then you're on the right track. However, what tastes good to most people is tons of salt, sugar, and grease. You mix them all together, and that's what people like, and that's why they're going down, not hard, soft. What types of carbs, fats, and proteins should we eat? As well as what percentage of carbs, fats, and proteins. Do you have a digital acronym created for your diet? Like mine's a 40-40-20. Sometimes it changes. 40% protein, 40% carbs, 20% fat. Depends on what I'm doing. If I'm running, swimming, cycling, bodybuilding, hammer throwing, whatever. So I need to fuel my body with energy. Where's it coming from? Well, that is something that you can design and calculate and determine. There are guidelines to help us get started, but after we dip into that pie, that conventional pie, like the Canada Food Guide or My Pyramid, you'll soon find out that the fine details that relate to your unique biochemical requirements aren't covered or even considered in what is now known as the DRI system currently used in Canada and the United States. Now, DRI is an acronym for Dietary Reference Intakes. The DRI system replaced RDAs as a single reference in 1997. RDA, as you can recall, and most of us still think in terms of RDA, stands for Recommended Daily Allowance. But this has been expanded upon. Now, the current DRI system is composed of four divisions. Number one, Estimated Average Requirements, or EAR. 2, Recommended Daily Allowances, which you know, RDA. 3, Adequate Intake, or AI. And 4, Tolerable Upper Intake Levels, or UL. Now, what do these things mean? The estimated average requirements are expected to satisfy the needs of 50% of the people in that age group based on a review of the scientific literature. Two, the recommended dietary allowance is the daily dietary intake level of a nutrient considered sufficient by the Food and Nutrition Board to meet the requirements of nearly all healthy individuals in each life stage and gender group. It is calculated based on the EAR, the estimated average requirements, and is usually approximately 20% higher. Three, the adequate intake. Now, this applies where no RDA has been established, like, for example, potassium. Can you believe it? There's no RDA. There's no exact amount that's been advocated, and yet it's such an incredibly important nutrient, especially when you think about all the sodium people are pumping in and killing themselves with. So the adequate intake applies where no RDA has been established, but the amount established is somewhat less firmly believed to be adequate for everyone in the democratic group. I mean, really, this stuff, can you really see my frustration with this stuff? It doesn't make any sense, and people don't understand it. They can't relate to this, and that's good. I guess it keeps people in the dark, keeps them ignorant, and that's what allows the corporate machine to sell them on the fact that they can take this food that they call food. Finally, tolerable upper intake levels, which caution against excessive intake of certain nutrients that can be harmful in large amounts. The UL is the highest level of consumption that current data have shown to be safe. And I can give you countless examples where on one side they will say you have to be careful, and on the other side, I will and many other people will be taking the amounts that these people say will kill me, and they haven't killed us, and we're living well, and we're living on a higher plane of existence and life and vitality than the other people on the other side who are warning us about taking too much. Now, this ultra-conservative DRI system, and it is because it comes from the government and these nutrition research councils, is based on so-called average people, which don't exist, and the erroneous assumption that food alone can provide everyone everywhere with what they need. Now, the system is obviously fixed in favor of the lowest common denominator, that being those who are non-athletic and vertically ill. So I want you to understand that these standards from the government are based on the minority, or in this case, the majority, who are sick and ill and not feeling good and take medication and they're not fit, they don't work out. I mean, like, that's the mass amounts of the population. That's the principal percentage of the population. They're the ones that get the attention, and it's all about fixing people that require attention because they're not preventing the disease, because they're not following the guidelines of true biological medicine and science. Of course, Big Pharma and the major food conglomerates that produce and distribute all the mainstream agrochemicals, processed food, and prescription drugs absolutely influence and control the food and nutrition boards that set the dietary guidelines for the population. You got to know that this stuff is not reliable. It's influenced by the enemy. And this is achieved through subsidies, grants, lobbying, legal pressure with high-paid lawyers, bulldogs as they're known, media advertising, and huge financial contributions given to political parties with strings attached. I scratch your back, you scratch mine. So much for objective science, justice, and fair play. You've got to understand, my friends, the rules of the game. You've got to understand what's going on all around you. And in spite of the corruption, in spite of the injustice, in spite of the lack of fair play, you're still a decent person, you're still someone who's interested in health and wellness, and you can achieve it. I'm doing exactly the same thing that you yourself are trying to do day by day, and that is live as a decent, good person who wants to be well and achieve something special. Well, that's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's an anonymous quote from the internet. Never trust a fat dietitian.